glories to the Assumed Devotees. Our glories to the Assumed Devotees. Our glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. If anybody needs some copies, we have some sheets here which you can take the verses and the chart which we are following in this class today. So if you don't have copy, you can come and take copies from here. We have these two copies. One is, these are the same things I've been giving every day, so if you already have them, then you don't need. But if you don't have, please come and take. These are will help you to follow the class. And some of these verses you will be singing with me today. And some are in the chart is there to help you to understand which verse. The numbers on the chart are the verses which we are studying. Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langate girim yakipam tamam bande shigurum jinatanam om agyana timrandasya gyananjana shilakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamai shigurave namaha. So I'd like to welcome you to the third day of our seminar and the last day of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Yesterday, we talked about why we should surrender to Krishna. And of course, it's all here on your chart from verse 22 to 26. Prahlad is explaining that we are all being crushed by time. So therefore, we should surrender to Krishna. Another reason is everything is finished in a second here. We don't know when everything will be finished, so we should surrender to Krishna. And there is no happiness here. And also, if we surrender, we will get causeless mercy, even more than Lakshmi and Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. So the conclusion was that we should become the servant of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj, even though he was face to face with Lord Nrisimhadev, he did not say to Lord Nrisimhadev, okay, now order me, what shall I do for you? He said, no, let me serve Narada Muni, my Guru Maharaj. Let me engage in his service. So instead of the direct service, although he certainly had opportunity for direct service, he prayed to be the servant of the Lord. So yesterday we discussed why is it better to be servant of the servant than to directly serve Krishna. So let me ask you, does anybody remember why is it better? If you were here yesterday, and if you weren't, maybe you know already. Yes, you know? We are not pure devotees, so we learn from the pure devotee. We get the mercy of the pure devotee. If we serve the pure devotee, we get the mercy. And we get so much mercy because his guru, all the way back. So much mercy we're going to get if we serve servant of the servant. If we become, because then we become servant of 30 servants in Parampara, 35. And we get all of their mercy to go back to Krishna. So that's another reason. What's another reason? Why is it better to be servant? Yes. Yes, devotees are more merciful than Krishna. Yes. We'll get more mercy than we will get if we serve Krishna directly. We can expect. Any other reasons why is it better to be servant of a servant? They know the path better. Yeah, that's a good reason. That's a new one. Yes, they know the way better than we do, for sure. And also, one more reason.
I think Lord is a very high standard.
Yes.
So, but this, if you go to the devotee of the devotee, they are very simple.
Yeah, devotees are very simple, and they will be happy. Anything else? Yes. Yes, if the devotee promises something, Krishna must uphold it. Prabhupada said, even Krishna cannot do that. But if the devotee says something, then Krishna must uphold that. Good. So yesterday we had a little homework that tried to be a servant of the servant. I won't ask you to tell your experience, but just you can raise your hand if you actually did that yesterday, even if, yeah, very good, very good. Somebody, you did practice your homework, some of you. And some of you did it even though you might not have known it was your homework. You practiced serving the servant. Very good. We also heard a little bit about creation, and today's topics will be about the incarnations, again, humility, and how Prahlad is begging mercy. He's begging the Lord to be merciful to everyone, to be merciful to the devotees. And he's also expressing his own mood, like Srila Prabhupada, of his compassion for those who are suffering in this material world. And his desire to sacrifice his own pleasure, his own happiness, just to help those who are suffering. It's just like, actually, something just came to my mind, that if you are a lifeguard and you want to save somebody who is drowning, sometimes you have to go under the water. I had that experience myself because I was trained as a lifeguard before I was a devotee. And when I was swimming, I was in Radhakund, or it was Kusum Sarovar, one of those places. One Indian lady, Indians don't know how to swim in India mostly, and especially the ladies. So here was a very, very big one. And she went off the bottom step and she couldn't swim. I was out in the water, so what I had to do was go underneath and push her up. So that is, sometimes you have to save someone, you have to go down and you have to push them up. So Prahlad Maharaj, he wants to go back to, if he goes back to Godhead, he said, I want to take everyone with me. Vasudeva Datta, he was desiring that he will suffer instead of everyone else. So this is the mood of today's verses. But before we hear about the mood of the devotee, we will hear about a little bit about incarnations of the Lord. And you have verse 38, but we will do verse 37 first, and I will just read that to you because you don't have it. And then we will sing 38 together. 37, my dear Lord, when you appeared as High Griva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitav, who were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. So 37, I would just like to share with you one purport of Srila Prabhupada from this verse. He said, if we read Bhagavatam and Gita daily, we get all Vedic knowledge and we can revive our Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will give you all protection. So the importance of Bhagavatam and Gita is stressed in all the purports of Srila Prabhupada. And now we are so fortunate that we are hearing verses of Bhagavatam by Prahlad Maharaj. And verse 38, I will sing one line. You do have the verses, this paper, if you have it. Otherwise, we have extra copies here of the verses that you will be singing with me today. And so you can come and take a copy. Yeah. And I think the copies are finished, so you're going to have to share with the person next to you if you don't have a copy. The charts are here, but the others are finished. Okay, so verse 38, I will sing one line, and you can repeat after me. Itam niti yagrishi deva chasavatarai. Lokam vibhavaya siham si jagat pratipan. Lokam vibhavaya siham si jagat pratipan. Dharmam mahapurushapasi yuganuvrittam. Dharmam mahapurushapasi yuganuvrittam. Channakalaya dabhavasti yugotasattvam. Channakalaya dabhavasti yugotasattvam. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Okay, so this verse, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Because here it says the Lord appears as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod. So as a human being, which incarnation? Ram and Krishna and Balaram. We've got three there. And as an animal? Raise your hand. Yes? Varaha. Varaha, very good. Lord Nishinga doesn't count. He's half-half. Half-half. Okay, as a great saint. Naranarayan, very good. And there are others. Kapiladev. Buddha. Well, Buddha is different. He's not a sage exactly. He's, yes. Okay, a demigod. Who is the demigod? Raise your hand. Not exactly. Of course, Brahma is a guna avatar. He's guna avatar. He's a demigod. Yeah, you could say Brahma, but there's another one where he actually appeared in the family of the demigods. Hint. Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva appeared as the son of Aditi, brother of Lord Indra. Vamanadeva, there you go. So don't forget about that. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Vishnu came to protect Brahma. Nishinga came to protect Prahlad. And somebody came to protect us. Who is that somebody? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very good. And he's mentioned in this verse, Chana Kalo. In the age of Kali, hidden, somebody is hidden. And that is Lord Chaitanya, because he does not declare himself an incarnation, whereas everyone else was listed as an incarnation. Lord Chaitanya is also there in Bhagavatam, but not in the list of incarnations in first canto, but later in 11th canto and 12th canto, you will find reference to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's hidden. And Bhagavatam is for the devotees, all the secrets are revealed. For the demons, hidden. The demons cannot understand. Mohini Murti, Krishna came as Mohini Murti. And she was favoring the demigods and she deceived the demons. So Bhagavatam is the same. If somebody with demonic mentality reads Bhagavatam, he won't understand the word. It will all be hidden. But for the devotees, they will understand these secrets. So here's one of the secrets of Bhagavatam is that Lord Chaitanya's incarnation is hidden. He's a hidden incarnation, hidden in Bhagavatam also. Radharani is also hidden in Bhagavatam. Shukadeva could not speak Radharani's name because he would have gone into ecstasy and could not speak anymore. So we are learning. We are learning. Now Krishna came and he demanded, you surrender to me. So Prabhupada, in his lecture in this verse, he said, well, when Krishna demands, somebody might say, who is this person ordering me like that? What right does he have to tell me to surrender to him? He may think like that. Not us, of course, but other people. Why should I surrender to Krishna? Who is he? Give up everything? I have my own dharma. Why I should give it up? So, therefore, Lord Krishna came again as Lord Chaitanya to teach us how to surrender and show us how we can have relationships with devotees in the proper way. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation. Now, verse 39 is about humility. At the beginning, his first prayer, Prahlad Maharaj expressed his humility. Everyone is qualified. Now, you don't have this, but you can look on your little chart to follow along. It's verse 39, humility. You don't have it in your verses. So I will just read this for you. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus, it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? So Prahlad is speaking for us. We have mind problems. And these are the problems of the mind, that we are absorbed in thinking that I need more money. Sometimes we are so-called happy, and sometimes we are so-called distressed. Why so-called? Because it's not about me. We're happy and distressed about our body, about our mind, but it has nothing to do with our real self. So therefore, it's so-called. It's temporary happiness, temporary distress. It's not real happiness and real distress. The real happiness and distress is with the soul. So now, here in this verse, if you were listening carefully, you will hear what is the difference between Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and this world. Who can tell me, if you remember this verse, if you heard while I was speaking the verse, there was one word which describes, or two words, which describe Vaikuntha, which is,
No anxiety.
No anxiety, very good. Yeah, no anxiety, that was in this verse. In Vaikuntha, there is no anxiety. Here, there is so much anxiety. That's a big difference. And that's why it's called Kunta. Kunta means anxiety. Vai, no. No anxiety. Here we have so much anxiety every day. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada said that the demons, actually, they want anxiety. Do you know why people want anxiety? Because they'll create a situation to put themselves in anxiety, and they'll try to come out of it and become a big hero. I have conquered anxiety. I have conquered my conditions of whatever it may be. I have conquered nature. I am victorious. So this is why people want anxiety, so they can become somebody who has done something. Yes. I don't watch movies, but I heard that when you watch movies, there's always a hero and a heroine, and then there's so many obstacles, and he has to go beyond these obstacles. And some of them are like supermen, and they fall off of cliffs, and they're still fine, and they go out, they jump off, so many things happen to them, but still they're the hero, and nothing really happens to them. They come out with a scratch or two, and they're fine. So this is the material world. Now, Krishna also has that. He wants to be the hero. So he comes as incarnation to save his devotees. So the devotees, sometimes they get in difficulty, like Prahlad was in difficulty, and Srinadev came as the hero to save Prahlad Maharaj. Now, Srila Prabhupada it was in Toronto, I believe, Canada. He was visiting Toronto, and the devotees wanted to buy a temple, which was expensive, $400,000, and in those days was quite a bit of money. Maybe now it would be, a few million in this day. It's worth, a few million now, that temple. So they were, and so they mentioned it, oh, Prabhupada, we saw this place, it's this much, and Prabhupada said, don't purchase anxiety, because then you have to work hard just to pay for this place. But then they said, well, you'd like to just see it. And so they took Prabhupada to see it, and he was so impressed. He said, you must get this temple. And the devotee said, but Prabhupada, you said, don't purchase anxiety. And Prabhupada said, there must be anxiety for Krishna. So Prabhupada can change from one to the other. Yeah, spiritual anxiety is there. It's different from material anxiety, though. We are worried about our body, our future, our family. And in Goloka Vrindavan, they are more worried about Krishna than themselves. If Krishna, when he was in the coils of Kaliya, then everyone was ready to give up their lives to try to save Krishna. They don't think Krishna can do anything, even though he's proved he can do everything, but they still can't understand it. They don't believe it. They think, well, it must be because we said our prayers to Narayan, therefore Krishna is always saved. But they don't understand that he's God. And so that's how it is, spiritual anxiety in the spiritual world. It's for Krishna. So our next verse, verse 40. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification. And the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. It's very embarrassing. Just imagine if your mind was put on a loudspeaker so everybody could hear. It would be very embarrassing, perhaps, what is going on in your mind, or else the video that's going on in your mind can be put up. That's why I said it's embarrassing. And we all have something like that. We all have the problem with the senses and the mind. And in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada said the only way you can control your senses is to chant and hear the holy name of the Lord. So we're very fortunate that we have got that holy name of the Lord, and we can get a chance to control our senses. So Prabhupada explains that in this verse, our senses are compared to wives. He said they can also be compared to masters. Our tongue is our master. Our eyes are our master. Our sense of touch is our master. Sense of smell, sense of taste. Everything is our master. And they're giving us different instructions. And sometimes one will say, let's go eat here. And the other will say, no, no, I want to go eat there. No, I want to see this. No, I want to do that. So that's like, you're being pulled in so many directions, just like the wind. So although I'm full, I'm not hungry, still I have to eat. So what the devotees do, they eat Krishna prasadam, and that helps a lot, and that controls your tongue. But sometimes devotees would go a step further than that, like especially if they're out on traveling sankirtan, and they don't have anything to eat. So I know I have some friends who used to go on traveling book distribution in America, and they would go into the supermarket and they would offer the whole supermarket so they could have anything they wanted from the supermarket, offer the whole supermarket. But no, we don't go to that extreme, but we are satisfied with Krishna Prasad. And another way, so chanting the holy name, and deity worship, Prabhupada recommends, to control the senses. So if you come to the temple, you bring, like people have brought nice gifts today for the deities. And if you're the pujari, you think about the deity. The deity's picture comes in your mind during the day. And you think, how was he dressed? What else can I do for him? Your vision becomes quite different when you serve the deity. You think, if you see a flower, you don't think, oh, let me smell this flower. You think, oh, how will it look in Radharani's hand? How will it look on Krishna's turban? And that's how you see the world. You see beautiful cloth. You don't think, okay, I'm going to wear it myself. You think, wow, let me give it to Krishna. Let's see how it will look on him. So this is how we control our senses in Krishna consciousness. Verse 41, my dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. So here is the mind of a pure devotee. He's praying for mercy, not only for himself, but for everyone. He wants to share the mercy. The Bhajananandis, they worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit. But the Goshtanandis, they are preachers. They want to elevate everyone and bring them back to Krishna so they may be saved. So Srila Prabhupada explains, not only Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavatam, it's there, that Krishna, this is in the 9th canto, 4th chapter, after Durvasa Muni is being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, he goes to Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan says, actually, I cannot enjoy my opulences without my devotees. Nothing makes me happy unless my devotees are here to enjoy with me. So what does that mean? That means that he wants everyone in this material world also to come and enjoy with him. He's not really so happy unless we all come back and enjoy with him. So Prabhupada explained in the purport, therefore one who is a preacher, he is very dear to Krishna because he's expanding Krishna's enjoyment. He's bringing so many more people to Krishna to enjoy with him, and Krishna is happy with that. So if we become a preacher in some way or other, whoever we meet, we tell them about Krishna, then we'll be very dear to Krishna and we'll be in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. So now verse 42, he's being more specific just for devotees. So my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. Now again, Prahlad is being very humble. He's putting himself in the category of fallen souls, demons, because he's born in a demonic family. So we are in that category of fallen souls. But Prahlad is praying for us that we will also get the mercy. And we have the mercy. We should be very grateful that we do have the mercy. Every day we can thank Krishna. Now in the purport again, Prabhupada gives us a clue how to become perfect in devotional service. Prabhupada says, the more one becomes servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. This is also the injunction of Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam. And he says, you should become dog of a Vaishnava. Yes, because the Vaishnava can give Krishna to you. The pure devotee has Krishna. So if you want Krishna, that's where you have to go. You have to go to the pure devotee and beg, please give me Krishna. So now the next section, from 43, 44, those two verses are the most compassionate verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we do have these verses that we will chant together, verse 43, showing the mood, the attitude of a pure devotee of the Lord. So verse 43, these are both very famous verses. I will sing one line and you can repeat after me. Naivo DJ Paradarat Yayavai Taranya. Naivo DJ Paradarat Yayavai Taranya. Twad Viyagaya Namaham Mitamatna Chitta. Maya sukaya paramud vahato vimurham. Maya sukaya paramud vahato vimurham. So compassion for all the foolish people. Prahlad was happy, and he was also unhappy simultaneously. Personally, he was happy. He was not in any need of anything because he had full Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, he felt very unhappy for the fools of this world who make plans to be happy. And here it says, param, they're holding a burden of happiness. How can happiness be a burden? Well, everyone in this world has the burden of happiness. And that burden means You work for 5 days of the week, or maybe even six, and then you get one day to enjoy, but you're so tired you probably sleep or take drugs or whatever just to forget the misery of the other past week. So this is the burden of happiness. My son, Govinda, when he was 10 years old, he and his friend Sudama, both children born in devotees in Krishna consciousness, they were watching one big size ant. And this ant had a huge burden on its back, and it was going around in circles because the thing was too heavy for the ant. So they were observing. I mean, probably if they weren't devotees, they would have smashed the ant. But they didn't do that. They were observing the ant, my son and his friend. And they said, "Oh, look at that poor ant. That burden is too heavy for him. Let's help that ant." And they took away the big piece of food, and the ant went straight. So that's what's happening in this material world. Everyone's going around in circles holding a huge burden. And Krishna comes, or devotee comes, he says, "You don't need to do that. Here." And Prabhupada, he said that to one very rich man in Calcutta, one life member. Life member was saying to Prabhupada, "You know, I have such a problem. I have so much anxiety. I have a factory here. I have a factory in Jaipur. I have a factory in Delhi. I have a factory in Bombay. But Swamiji, I cannot sleep at night." So Prabhupada said, "Oh, no problem. You give us your factories. We will relieve you of your anxiety and you can sleep nicely." And he said, "No, Swamiji, it's okay." And Prabhupada said, "Get his address." He said, "No, Swamiji, it's all right. I can contact you." The Prabhupada said, "But I must also be able to contact you." Anyway, that's how it is. We have our burdens and we don't want to give up our burdens of happiness. So Prahlad is feeling this compassion. And our Gurukulis also, they have this feeling. Some, I think when they're young especially, they have this compassion. They have this feeling of compassion. They understand the suffering of others, actually. Even when they grow up and become teenagers, that compassion is still there. So Prahlad had this compassion. He was a 5-year-old child, but he understood how people are suffering. Of course, he went through a lot himself. His father tried to kill him in so many ways, so he had experience. But he was still very happy because he was saved by Lord Nrisimhadev. So here, Vimudhan. Mudha was one of Prabhupada's favorite words. It means fool or rascal, mudha. But in this verse, the word is vimudha. It means a very, very much rascal, especially rascal. Vimudha, hopeless rascal, hopeless. So Prahlad saw like that in this world, everyone is rascal. They're very much foolish. And this is our problem. He said, this should be the problem of the devotees, that everyone else is suffering. That is our problem. We have no problem. We have the holy name, we have the temple, we have Krishna. We have no problem, really. But everyone else has a problem. So we should try to help them. Serve the devotee and jivadaya. Nama, what is that? Namaruchi, jivadaya, and Vaishnava seva. These three things are the duties of the Vaishnava. To be merciful to the unfortunate people, the suffering people, to have attraction for the chanting the holy name, and to serve the Vaishnavas. These three things, this is the life of the devotee. So this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada, is the mood of Srila Prabhupada, that he sacrificed so much. His in old age, is anybody here 70 years old yet? No, you can't imagine what it means to be so old and then to leave everything, go on a boat for a whole month to America and have two heart attacks. After the first one, I'm sure you'd give up, you know. After two heart attacks, then go and do your mission in America. So that was Srila Prabhupada. He felt he'd had no problem, but he saw the suffering. When he first arrived, he had so much compassion. He saw the people were suffering, and he prayed to Krishna, "Please, if you desire, let my words penetrate their hearts and let them be saved." let them come to you. So that's the compassion of the Vaishnava. So verse 44, we also have the verse and we can sing it together. A very famous verse, Hare Krishna. Prayena deva munaya svavimukti kama.
Prayena deva munaya svavimukti
kama. Manam charanti vijanena paratanishta.
Manam charanti vijanena paratanishta.
Naitan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko.
Naitan
vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko. Nanyam tarasya sharanam pramato nupashye.
Nanyam
tarasya sharanam pramato nupashye. My dear Lord Nishingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mount Avrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport said that the pure devotee is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. His interest is in the busiest part of the world, like Melbourne, Australia, and where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. Now Prabhupada gives us all a duty here. Every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. So isn't that, how many of you have gone door to door? I have. It's very interesting. There's a Christian movement, like Jehovah's Witness, I think for 2 years everybody has to go door to door. I think that's when you join that Christian group. So Prabhupada is telling we should do that also, convince people. So that was the purport. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So we should all be convinced about that. Last year's class was about being convinced. And here's another thing that we should be convinced about. So I'm going to share with you another story, like the first day. This is from Indradumna Maharaj's diary, about how a preacher goes and preaches in difficult places. So he was on the airplane on his way to Paraguay, which is in South America. And he was reading up. He was in the American consulate. They give you, you know, ideas about what to expect in different countries. So he was reading about Paraguay. U.S. citizens should avoid large gatherings or any other event where crowds have congregated to demonstrate or protest. Such activities have resulted in road closures, including major routes traveled by tourists. U.S. citizens who encounter roadblocks should not attempt to continue travel or confront those at the roadblock. He said, I made a mental note, avoid roadblocks. As I continued to read, I began to wonder if I had made the right decision in going to Paraguay. Organizations providing financial support to extremist groups operate in Ciudad del Este, which is where he was going, and several high-profile kidnappings for ransom have occurred. Avoid kidnappings, I thought, half-joking. Armed robberies, car thefts, home invasions are common in both urban and rural areas. Street crime, including pickpocketing and mugging, is prevalent in the cities, particularly during the evening hours in the vicinity of hotels and airports. Better be careful when I land in Ciudad del Este. Anyway, no reason to be discouraged. I thought experience has shown such places often present the best opportunities for preaching. I soon fell asleep and woke up abruptly 45 minutes later as the flight was landing. groggy from sleep, I grabbed my hand luggage and quickly got off the flight. I was the only passenger to get off. As I was walking towards the terminal, I suddenly realized I wasn't sure if the flight had actually landed in Ciudad del Este. I looked at the terminal building, but the sign didn't mention anything about Ciudad del Este. I presented my passport in immigration. "Is this Ciudad del Este?" I asked the officer. Either he couldn't understand English or he thought I was mad, because he just shook his head and laughed, stamping my passport and waving me forward. I had only hand luggage, so I quickly walked towards the exit to meet the devotees outside. Along the way, I was surprised to see a sign in English, and I stopped to read it. "Warning, dengue fever, prominent in this area. Transmitted by mosquitoes. It is found mainly in urban areas and around human dwellings. Take all necessary precautions." One more thing to watch out for, I thought, as I walked out the door. But as the automatic doors closed behind me, I realized there was nobody there to meet me. I broke out in a cold sweat. Maybe Ciudad del Este was the next stop, I thought. I pulled out my cell phone to make a phone call, but there was no connection. I decided to wait, and I sat down on the curb. At that moment, a group of 10 or 15 taxi drivers approached me. "Habla English?" I said. "Is this Ciudad del Este?" They laughed. Some said, "Sí." Some said, "No." Immediately, all of them moved in and surrounded me. I knew I was in trouble. When I tried to stand up, one of them shoved me back down. The next moment, I saw my computer bag being picked up, and I grabbed it tightly. Off to my left, I saw my DD box being dragged away, and I quickly caught it as well. As the men moved around me, I jostled to keep my bags by my side. Suddenly, a van pulled up, and I saw devotees inside. As quickly as they had arrived, the taxi drivers disappeared into the darkness. "Everything okay?" said a devotee. "Couldn't be better," I said. "You guys arrived just in time." "How do you like Paraguay?" another devotee asked. "So far, it's everything I expected," I replied. I was a bit shaken by the incident at the airport, and I was silent as we drove through the night to a small temple on the outskirts of the city. As the van bounced along the cobblestone streets, I tried to study the scene outside, but it was too dark. I imagined it would look much like what I had read, poor, undeveloped, and rampant with crime. When we arrived, a small group of devotees received me, and I retired to my room. I lay on my bed exhausted. It was hot and humid, so I didn't cover myself until the mosquitoes discovered me. Then I wrapped myself up, preferring to swelter under the covers rather than risk dengue fever. A little corner of hell, I thought, as I drifted off to sleep. That night I dreamed the taxi drivers kidnapped me at the airport, threw me in the back of a taxi, and drove away. They sent a message to the GBC. It had 24 hours to pay a ransom of $2 million. The GBC wrote back that it couldn't pay because too many temples were in debt. Then, as the kidnappers prepared to kill me, a host of angels appeared in the sky and started singing, scaring away my kidnappers. I woke up sweating. Was it a dream, I thought? Of course it was. I said out loud and suddenly heard angels singing again. And I got up out of bed and opened the door. I walked outside. The singing became louder. A devotee approached me. "Good morning, Maharaj. Did you sleep well?" "Where is that singing coming from?" I asked. "There's a Christian school just behind the wall of your room. All morning, the children sing beautiful Christian hymns." "Bless those little angels," I said, as I went to take my shower. Later, I walked to the front of the property and was amazed to see a beautiful landscape of simple homes set in serene subtropical foliage. "Everything okay, Maharaj?" asked a brahmachari. "Yes, I'm fine. It's just I didn't expect this. It wasn't in the reports. It's so beautiful here." And the next day, devotees told me they had arranged two lectures at a local university. I was thrilled by the prospect. As it turned out, however, the university was a combined grade school and high school. The first class was 200 children, 8 to 10 years old, and they sat staring at me, and I tried to explain the philosophy, but their attention span lasted only a few minutes, and soon most of them were talking. So I started discussing something they might better understand, kindness to animals. I was trying to tell them animals have souls, when I noticed a little girl about 9 years old in the front row listening intently. When I said we should not be cruel to animals, I saw a tear glide down her face. I decided to direct my talk to her alone. When I said all creatures are part of one spiritual family, her face lit up. So then the recess bell rang, all the children jumped up, but the girl sat still for a moment, reflecting on what she'd heard. Then she left. After the break, a group of 300 high school students entered. I asked Jagajivan to speak to them. And suddenly I saw the little girl from the previous group enter the classroom and walk quietly along the back and down one side to take her previous seat in front. She immediately became absorbed in the lecture. After half an hour, Jagajivan stopped and asked me to lead kirtan. I jumped at the opportunity. I wanted the little girl to experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. As I taught the students the mantra, I saw her repeating it carefully, word for word. As I started dancing, singing, many of the students stood up and started to dance. The kirtan became more ecstatic. They were performing, they formed a single line weaving through the classroom. And I looked at my watch and I realized we've gone way over the limit. So when I stopped, all the students start screaming for more. And after an hour later, I again brought the kirtan to a close and glanced at the little girl. She was still in her seat, smiling and radiant, relishing the nectar of the holy names. She's yours now, my lord, I thought. Please guide her to your lotus feet. After a few moments, she glanced at her watch, jumped up, and quickly ran towards the exit. When we reached the door, she stopped, turned around, smiled at me, a look of deep appreciation in her eyes. Then she was gone. When all the children had left, I sat down and I quietly reflected on how I'd been apprehensive about coming to Paraguay. Shaking my head, I looked upward and laughed. Good Lord, I said, you can send me to hell any time you wish, as long as I can hear the angels sing and there are souls like that little girl eager to chant your holy names. So this is the mood of a preacher. One, he found one sincere soul, not even an adult, just a small girl, and he was thanking Krishna, thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach. So this is the mood we are following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. This is an example. Right now, we have our examples. So many preachers are like Maharaj. This is only one example of one preacher's life. So many preachers are going through the same thing in their lives, trying to help people. In the mood of Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. So I would also like to tell a story that I heard from Tirtharaj Prabhu. You all know Tirtharaj? He's from Australia, I believe. And he's preaching in China. And he was telling about one experience he had when he was preaching in China. And there you cannot dress as devotees. You have to dress like, you know, regular people. But he was having different engagements. And he went to one monastery in the mountains of China, Buddhist monastery. And the Chinese devotees were giving the lecture. He was sitting in the audience next to one of the monks, the Buddhist monks. So the monk inquired from him, what is this? And he said, yeah, that's a sign that I am following this philosophy. So then he said, well, what's your philosophy? And then he couldn't really say outright. He said, well, it's similar to yours. We see the oneness of everything and Supreme Spirit. And then he says, well, what do you do? He says, well, I travel everywhere, city to city, village to village, and I speak my philosophy. He said, then the monk said, well, you are higher than we are because you go out. We just stay in the mountains. We're only concerned for ourselves. We don't care about other people. We just want to be saved. But you are going out and you're helping others. So you are higher than we are. Very nice appreciation from a Buddhist monk. And this is the fact that the devotees care about other people and therefore they go out. Munaya, they are philosophers. So Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want to go back alone. Unless I take these fools with me, I won't go. So that was his mood. He said, I'm not going back unless I take everyone with me. So this is the mood of a pure devotee. I think I was in Australia last year in Sydney. And one of the outside people raised their hands and they said, you know, I have experienced the mercy of the devotees. He says, I was working in a slaughterhouse. Devotees came in and they distributed a book to me. And they told me, you know, it's not good what you're doing. Somebody preached it, you know. So this is very hard for a devotee to do, to go inside a slaughterhouse and distribute books. But this person said, and so I left my job. And I'm trying to be vegetarian. He hasn't succeeded yet, he says. And he comes to the temple and he's very happy to eat prasadam. So he's on his way. He's on his way. So this is the mercy of the devotees. Even now, that was just last year I was in Sydney and this person told me in the class. He told this story about his life. The devotees are still being merciful even today. And we can also follow in their footsteps. So verse 45. You don't have any more of these, so I'll just read the rest. This is about Kripana and Dhira. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedi, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The Kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of Brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are Dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. So this is the comparison of the Kripanas, those who are misers, who miserly with their own lives. They misuse their own lives. They don't use it for the proper purpose. And Dhira, those who use their lives in Krishna consciousness. So Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, instructs his servants that bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of the honey of the lotus feet of Krishna, who do not associate with Paramahansas, who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. Srila Prabhupada was lecturing on this story of Ajamila in Gorakhpur. And it was the first time he was visiting, and there were many Indian gentlemen in the audience. And they were just starting up their life membership program. So Prabhupada changed the translation a little bit. And he said, Yamaraj said, bring to me all those people who do not become life members of ISKCON. And they all became life members. Yeah, time, place, and circumstance application. So yeah, Prabhupada could do that. We can't do that, but Prabhupada can do things like that. And it worked. I think also in Gujarat, when he went to Gujarat, he said, I will only eat in the house of a life member. So, and he was there 30 days, he got 30 life members, and each day a different person. That was Srila Prabhupada, how he applied the philosophy. Yeah, and it's for the good of the people. So verse 36, we'll hear about the indirect path. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path to liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone. To observe vows, vrata. Mauna, then there's vrata. To amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, vyaka. To undergo austerities, tapa. To study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures. To execute the duties of varnashram, and to explain the shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. Yes, because people on this path, they're depending on their own independent power to do things. The yogis, they want to be the controller of their senses. They want to be the hero. But we realize that we are depending on the mercy of Krishna. We are depending on mercy, and in that way we can make advancement. In India, sometimes they do this mauna vrat. They don't speak. But if you ask them a question, they'll write the answer down on the paper. But that's breaking the vrata, actually. You're not supposed to speak means you're also not supposed to communicate. But they don't really follow. But as Prabhupada said, it's a professional, not Prabhupada, but Prahlad said, it's a professional practice. And they want fame, they want money, they want something. So therefore they do these different things. So now the last few verses is about how Krishna is everything. Verse 47. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. So everywhere is Krishna. He's the cause of everything. The devotee can see, just like we know that fire is within this wood. We don't see the fire, but it's there, and it's a good thing we don't see the fire, because otherwise we'd be all finished. The fire in this wood, we were talking about that a few years ago, or maybe last year, no, a couple of years ago, how the fire is in wood. So the devotee, he sees Krishna everywhere, in every atom, not only the deities, he sees in the floor of the temple, he sees Krishna. He sees Krishna in the walls. He sees Krishna in the microphone. He sees Krishna everywhere. So we have to practice according to direction of authorities. And then we'll also be able to see Krishna at every moment. Chanting Hare Krishna is the process that we are given. And that will take out all the garbage of our heart and we will see Krishna everywhere. So verse 48 is about how Krishna is everything again. O Supreme Lord, you are actually air, earth, fire, sky, and water. You are the objects of sense perception, life, air, five senses, mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross. Material elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. So did Prahlad leave anything out there? I think everything's covered. So subtle and gross, everything is Krishna. But we cannot see him. He's like an actor. He's disguised. And that's what it means to be in the material world, that Krishna is covered. Although he's everywhere, he's covered. And that's the material world. The spiritual world, you can see him everywhere. He's not covered. But here, he's covered like an actor on the stage. He's not recognized. So we don't see Krishna. We don't recognize him everywhere. So in this lecture again, in this, Prabhupada said that love of Krishna makes us see how Krishna is there. The deities are there. When we see with eyes of love, then we can actually see Radha, Balabha, Gornitai, and Lord Jagannath. And some of you maybe were feeling separation the last, I don't know how long he was off the altar. 1 week, 2 weeks?
1 week.
1 week. 1 week?
10 days.
So some of you are feeling separation maybe. So that's a nice spiritual feeling that, yes, where is Lord Jagannath? He should be there. So Sri Prabhupada says, when you see in that way, with these eyes of love, then you can see Krishna everywhere. And if you don't have love, then you will say, what's the difference, this floor and that, and the deities? In fact, that was a question asked to Jananivas by some visitor to Mayapur asked Jananivas, well, what is the deity made of? And Jananivas answered, what is your heart made of? That's what the deity is made of. Whatever your heart is made of, that's what the deity is made of. So they might think, it looks like brass. Oh, then your heart is brass. Oh, stone, okay, your heart is stone. Good answer. So only a pujari could understand like that. So Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he was saying, why do people come to Vrindavan? He's saying, people come, they take the dust, they put on their head, because the dust is also Krishna. The Jamuna is also Krishna. But he said, but wherever you go in Krishna consciousness, that is Vrindavan. just like Lord Chaitanya, wherever he went, that was Vrindavan. Wherever Prabhupada went, that was Vrindavan. Burjan explains in his book that realization he had, because he did not see deities. At first he saw only Prabhupada, and it was many years before he actually got a chance to go in the deity room. And the first time Burjan Prabhu went in the deity room, and he went in, he said, oh, wow, this is the same feeling I have when I'm with Srila Prabhupada. So that means Prabhupada is carrying Krishna with him everywhere. He realized that was a very good realization, that inside the deity room is how he felt when he was with Srila Prabhupada. He was feeling like he was with Krishna. So this, the pure devotee, he brings Vrindavan, he brings Krishna wherever he goes. So 49, about we don't understand Krishna. Neither the three modes, material nature, sattva, raja, tama, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship, for they are all subjected to birth and annihilation. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. So again, who can understand Krishna? And especially you cannot from the Vedas. He's hidden in the Vedas. What is that? Tarko, Pratishta, Shutayo, Vibhyanam, Nasavisha, Yasimatam, Nabhyanam. That if you try to find Krishna in the Vedas, it'll be very, very difficult. If you try to ask different sages about Krishna, they will all give a different opinion, because you can't be a sage unless you give a different opinion. The great sages, they will argue and they will say, maybe this, maybe that. A great sage cannot always tell you. You cannot find Krishna in the Vedas, you cannot find in dry arguments. If you try to debate, you will not find Krishna also. So where do you find Krishna? Dharman, he sakshat bhagavat panitam. No, that's another verse. Sorry about that. I can't remember. But anyway, he's in the heart of the pure devotee. Yes, the heart of the pure devotee. So Prabhupada, he had Krishna. And then he was so compassionate, he was so merciful, he gave Krishna to us. So now we have Krishna, and we should also share Krishna with others. And this is the point of this verse, the example of how you can know Krishna by love and not by great learning is there in Krishna book. The wives of the Brahmins, they ran to Krishna to serve him. But they're, something here. The wives of the Brahmanas, they ran to serve Krishna, whereas their husbands, when Krishna came to beg food, they said, why should we give to you? They didn't even talk to them. They ignored them completely, because they were so much into their sacrifice and their Vedic study of the Vedas that they neglected Krishna. But the wives who had developed love for Krishna from hearing from the fruit ladies and the different people coming from Vrindavan, then they had love for Krishna. And because of that love, they could run to Krishna and feed Krishna. Whereas the husbands, even they knew Krishna was nearby, they were afraid of Kamsa. So they were afraid to go to Krishna because they thought, oh, maybe we'll get punished if we go. But the wives were not afraid, and they ran. So this is the example of how nobody can understand you from Vedic knowledge or following. And the husbands, they actually admitted that what is the use of our Vedic study? What is the use of our celibacy and all this? We cannot go to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that Haribo, Jai. He quoted Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Jamanamante, Ganavan Man Prabhatite. After studying, not only in one life, but for many, many lives, these Gyanis, these Vedic scholars, he becomes wise, Ganavan, and he understands Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. And he surrenders to Krishna. Then he sees Krishna everywhere. And he thinks, what is my relationship with Krishna? And he becomes a devotee and engages in devotional service. So last prayer, conclusion is bhakti. Therefore, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons, to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshipping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahansas? So this is the way of success is devotional service of six types he mentions here. We know nine types, and six of the nine are mentioned in this verse. That is praying, giving the results to Krishna, worshipping, working, and remembering and hearing. So these are the main ways to approach Krishna. And at the last few verses are not prayers, but what happens next? What is Lord Nrisimhadev's reaction to these prayers? He was pacified. He gave up his anger. And he was so kind. Prahlad was offering obeisances again at the end on the ground, and he spoke to him that, yes, I am very pleased. Pritoham. Ask anything you want. Whatever you want, I'll give you. Now I am pleased. So Srila Prabhupada said that if you please Krishna, then you will get anything you want. So isn't that amazing? But usually those who please Krishna don't want anything. So that's a paradox of devotee. They just want to please Krishna. That's what they want. And that's what Prahlad says. Yes, now I'm happy. If you're pleased, I don't need anything. So Srila Prabhupada explained that I went to America with only 40 rupees, which is nothing. And I got 40 crores after that. Krishna gave everything to him. So Prahlad is a pure devotee. He's called Bhadra in one of those verses, that he's very gentle. He doesn't want anyone to be inconvenienced. And Prabhupada, again, he is preaching and he said, some say these Europeans and Americans cannot become Vaishnava, but these people are mistaken. If Krishna is pleased, immediately they become best of the Brahmanas. So it's not difficult. You just have to please Krishna. And he's easily pleased. How do you please Krishna? By pleasing the Guru. So Prabhupada said, never mind you're born in the family of demons. Because I'm pleased, you're purified. Prabhupada said that in his lecture to us, that I'm pleased, so you're Brahmins. So if you please Prabhupada, if you please Krishna, if you please your spiritual master, then everything is all right. Instead of begging, I need this, Krishna will come and say, what do you need? Please tell me. I'll give you whatever you want. Please take whatever you want. So Prabhupada said, Krishna is very anxious to give us whatever we want. And the devotee has the same anxiety to give everything to Krishna. So there's a competition. And devotee should win, but of course we can't win because Krishna has 10 hands and we only have 2. What can we give? What can we accept? But Krishna is very merciful. And he wants to help us. He wants to please us also. So pure devotee, Prabhupada says, I don't want any benediction from you, but I'll give everything to you. So Prabhupada's last words were on this verse, on these verses, try to make an arrangement that Krishna may not give you anything, but you give to him. That's what we should try to do. And we saw that in the life of the six Goswamis. I believe Rupa Goswami, one little girl came and gave him some things to cook a feast because he wanted to make a feast for Sanatan Goswami. And he made this huge feast and Sanatan said, now where did you get all these things? And he said, oh, this beautiful little girl came and gave them to me. And he said, he chastised him. You know, that's Radharani. You're not supposed to take service from Radharani. But that's how Krishna is. Radharani, they want to serve the devotees. And Sanatan was showing the other one, no, we want to serve them. We don't want them to serve us. Okay, so we will stop here if you have any questions or comments on this class.
We have Shanta Vishnu.
You do? Really? Wow, where's he?
He's
Ramani's feet. Okay, Shantana Shinga. Yeah. Yeah. Shantana Shinga, yes, that's the best one. Shantana Shinga. Best to have in the Western countries, Shantana Shinga. Yes, very nice. Yes? Yes, six types of surrender.
Some of them is depending on maintaining of
maintenance. Yes.
But I'm thinking, isn't that a bit contradictory to us expecting anything to Krishna? I mean, how do that proper mentality?
What is the proper mentality? You know that one of the symptoms of surrender is to think Krishna is maintaining you. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so you just notice. You notice, you don't say, Krishna, I need this, I need that, I need this. You just depend on him and you notice how you're being maintained. Actually, he's maintaining you, he's maintaining everyone, even the non-devotees. But we think we are maintaining ourselves. We think it's us who are doing it. But actually, just remember, that, you know, we endeavor, we do it, but whatever the result is, that's he is giving. He's maintaining us. And we should be grateful. I mean, because there's so many things that we get. Like, I mean, one thing is, you know, the food, the shelter. But then there's the air. There's the light. There's so many. Of course, you have to pay for the light here in the material world, but except for the sun, you do have to pay. And Prabhupada said in the spiritual world, there's no electric bill. So, yes. But it's a matter of consciousness to see how he is maintaining it. How he's, just notice. Notice how he's maintaining. No, he can't do anything. Yeah, yeah. You won't be chastised unless you take more than your quota. And if you take more than your quota, then you better give it to Krishna. then it will be okay. Yes? Yeah.
So we understand that we need to understand the mood of Prahlad Maharaj there.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of reality, like, was he successful in doing so? Means, Lord is obliged to his devotees first.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to fulfill his.
So your question is, was Prahlad successful?
Yeah.
He's still alive, so we can't really say if. Prahlad is still living. And Sutala. And perhaps in one of the Varshas, Hari Varsha, I believe, in Jambudvip. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't gone back yet. He hasn't gone back yet. So we can't answer that question until he goes back. Even then, we probably can't answer it either. But for now, I have a good excuse because he's still alive. So therefore,
he
wants to take everyone back, yeah. Doesn't want to go back. So he may stay here till the end of Brahma's life, who knows?
But Lord is obliged to fulfill the desire of the devotees.
That's right.
So that should happen. So because it's the
it should happen,
Brahma,
yes. It's the desire of Prahlad, yes.
So
what it means is Prahlad will stay here. But I mean, one devotee, Vasudev Dutta, expressed that to Lord Chaitanya. And he said, there is no need for you to stay here. I will do it myself. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do it. Yeah, it could be the Vasudev Dutt, yeah, incarnation. So it's up to the Lord whether or not he wants Prahlad to stay and preach. Prahlad has expressed that desire that I would like to stay here and preach for you. And the Lord, it's up to the Lord to decide on that, whether he wants Prahlad to stay. Bhrijan again also asked that question, whether he should desire to stay here, come back life after life, or should he just go back to Godhead and Prabhupada. What I can't remember exactly, but I believe he said that, no, you should desire to go back. Another, Achyutananda asked Prabhupada that question. And this answer I remember. He asked Prabhupada, which is better, to desire to stay here life after life and preach, or to desire to go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada said, well, if you're preaching, you're already back to Godhead. So if you're distributing books, if you're preaching, you're in the spiritual world, Prabhupada said, you're liberated already. You have been liberated. Yes. But he always encouraged us to go back to have the desire to go back to Godhead. It's in many of his purports. If you read Bhagavatam, he did encourage us to have that desire. Don't desire to come back birth after birth. It will come naturally. It's there in the Shikshastaka. When you come to the level of Ruchi, then that happens. Because we discussed this last year in our class, at the level of Nishta is Chinadapi Sunichina, where you're so humble, you have this humility, you can chant the holy name constantly. Now when you get to the next level of Ruchi, then you've lost your taste for anything of this world. I don't want sex life, I don't want followers, I don't want fame. I only want birth after birth, your devotional service. So it comes naturally. Before you come to prema, you will have that feeling naturally. Artificially, you cannot do. It will come naturally. And then you can understand, yes, okay. Because you're already liberated. That's the level of liberation, first step of liberation. You're already so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that you're with Krishna. And you don't feel the anxieties. Because you've left those things, that's why you don't feel them. You've left the desire for fame and enjoying with the opposite sex, you've left it so that you don't suffer the miseries. Very simple. Very simple thing. You've left, and you don't have desire for it also. Desire itself is painful. Desire itself gives so much suffering. Not to speak of the experience of living in this material world. So when you realize that the real happiness is to serve Krishna, serve the servant of Krishna, then you understand what it means that you can come birth after birth. Right now you can't do that because you're suffering. We're thinking, why? One birth is enough for me, you know, I'm going back. It's time for me to go back to Godhead. That's good. You should have that desire. Help your guru. Help your guru deliver you. Don't put too much burden on him. Any other questions? Yes.
In the first class, I asked about, I said something and you said it's according to your capacity.
Oh, yeah. Mercy?
No, I was saying how it seems that all of you should contact the disciples.
Oh. So you have another question? Oh, you're just saying a comment. Okay, good. How do you know? When you reach your limit, you'll know. That, okay, this is as much as I can do. And you have a physical, you have a mental limit, and you use all of it, whatever you have, then that's the same as what we were doing. And the example is in the Leela of Lord Ram. You know, Hanuman and the monkeys, they were throwing huge boulders, and the spider was, or the, oh, there's two different accounts, one's a spider and one's a squirrel. Yeah. So the squirrel was doing his little bit, and Ram was pleased equally with the both of them. And none of us can be like Prabhupada, so we have our small, you know, squirrel capacity. And if we do that, and actually as you get older, You cannot do it. I cannot do what I did then. So I realized that physically I cannot do. So I switched to the mental, to the intellectual platform. And so, okay, as long as I can do that, I'll do that. That may also be, stop at any time. I'm also realizing that physically because I lost the hearing in one ear. So that can be, anything can be taken away at any time. So we try, whatever we have now, we should try and use that fully. Our ears, our eyes, our tongue, we have all of those. So whatever capacity you have, you can serve Krishna with those senses. Yes?
I think
innocent, simple. How do we develop simplicity? Okay, that's a good question. Simplicity is a quality of a Brahmin. So simplicity, Srila Prabhupada explained that you will always tell the truth. This is a symptom of simplicity. That even if it, of course, if you're in danger, then that's another thing. You know, you can tell a lie for that. But in normal dealings, the Brahmin will always tell the truth, try to. But you don't want to shock people, but Gita says in a palatable way, Prabhupada says in the purport, it should be spoken, truth should be spoken palatably. Truthfulness, yes, honesty. Honesty, be honest with yourself, what level you're on, and try to be honest with others. Any other, yes? Right.
But then you also mentioned the first class of Prabhupada expected the impossible from us, and that was the standard.
Right.
So if you become limited by a physical or emotional or intellectual limits, then how did the devotees then manage to do the impossible?
Okay, the question is, we have our emotional and physical limits, but Prabhupada expected us to do the impossible. So how do those two go together? Yeah, well, we didn't worry about our physical limits in those days. And we were young. Actually, we were young, and I think we were healthier than the generation that I see nowadays with all the e-pollution and exposure to computers. We didn't have computers or cell phones, and nothing like that. And this contaminated food, some was contaminated even then, but mostly it was not so bad. So we did have better health. And we could do, even those who had physical limitations, like I believe Jayananda in the wheelchair suffering from cancer, he was building the last Rath cart. So Prabhupada made us go beyond our capacity. And you can also go beyond your capacity. It's not like, but not that you stress yourself or you try to do something that physically you cannot do. But you just have to pray that, okay, now I'm your instrument, and if you want to use me more than I can think I can do, then please use me that way. Like sometimes we're afraid, we have fear, we don't want to do things. And so Krishna can relieve us of that fear. Like I had a fear of public speaking. So, but I understood that's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. So I had to pray to Krishna a lot to overcome that. And it worked. Here I am. Because I was a devotee for the first 24 years, I never gave class. And then after that, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to start. So what I did, and there was no facility, I understood, okay, Prabhupada wants me to teach the Shastras, because I had read the books maybe 10 times or more already myself. But then I realized, now I should share what I learned. And I was in Vrindavan in 1994. Ladies don't give class in the temple. And Bhakti Shastri and VIHE was only for men. There was no ladies. So I said, how am I going to teach? So I just started in my room in Vrindavan. I was in some life member's house, but then the chokidars were not nice and they said no people can come here. I said, now what? Okay, so I went on the roof of the Krishna Balaram guest house and I was giving class up there. And then after 2 years I got my own place. I mean, I'm living in a devotee's house, and then I had classes there for 2 years. And after 3 years then the VIG noticed me and said, we want to start a women's Bhakti Shastri. So then I started teaching, and 1 year later I was traveling and teaching. It's like, because even if something's impossible, if it's the desire, if it's the order of your spiritual master, you just do it. And don't worry about facility. So that's another example of limitation. So even the limitation may be there, but you have to make the facility yourself. Just do it, as they say in the modern language, just do it. So I just did it, and here I am. because it works. If their guru has an order, and so there you go. And I had the also fear of speaking, so all these things were there, but I understood, oh, this is what Prabhupada wants, so I have to do this. So I did it. And beyond my expectations, so many things happened. And now I'm traveling around the world 7 months a year, and yeah, somehow or other, doing the impossible. Still expecting to do the impossible. Still expecting. There are more impossible things on my list that seems Prabhupada wants me to do. So let's see if that happens. Okay. Glories to Shiva Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Right.